Praise God! Welcome to a special episode of This Is That. And tonight, we are going to be talking about the reason of this season, and that is Christmas. What is Christmas? And how should we look upon Christmas? Because, let's face it, a lot of people celebrate Christmas differently. But what is the real reason why we celebrate Christmas? And of course, we are going to look for our inspiration in the Bible, in the Word of God. And I have here my brothers. Starting over here is my brother Dan, Bur Mike, Bur Dodd, Bur Nate, and Bur Long. And so we hope that we're going to be able to inspire you and to be able to give you a real purpose of what Christmas is.
Amen.
And to start with, what was Christmas for us growing up? Because let's face it, we didn't all grow up together. It'd be nice if we all grew up together, but God brought us from different
backgrounds.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Different walks of life. And I am glad that He brought us together. I'm glad that I can look at my brother and say, hey, I have a brother. And
that's
can look at Nate and I say, he's my brother. And so, what was Christmas growing up for you guys? I'll start with me. For me, Christmas growing up is all about food. Mm. I think you talked about it
a little bit
at Christmas. Yeah. But it was all about food. It was all about presents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I grew up in a third world country, and it's not every time that you have this different kinds of food. Maybe once in a while when we celebrate a birthday, then you will have some food, but not every time. But Christmas time is the only time where it's an abundance of food.
Ooh.
It's like it's a holiday, a feast. And so for Christmas growing up, I'm looking for Christmas. Why? Because there's food in there.
It's Praise God.
I'm going to be full. And so when I came here, learning about God and going to church, my perspective of Christmas changed over time. It's not all about food anymore, because we are in the land of the blessed.
Yes.
And
amen.
One thing that this country is very blessed is we have an abundance of food.
Yeah.
Right.
When you go to third world countries, compare that to what we have, it's night and day.
Yeah.
And so it changed. It's like who said that? Is that Maslow, the pyramid of
Maslow?
Yeah. Pyramid of needs.
Yeah, self-actualization at the top.
Yeah. Yeah. So first you have to fulfill the basic needs.
Yeah.
And that is the food, clothing, and shelter, and then you progress. And so once the baseline is fulfilled, then you go to the next level and the next level and the next level. And so for me, Christmas growing up was all about food. But right now it's different. For me, Christmas is all about family. It's all about friends.
Yeah.
It's different, because over here we don't have any family. And so it kind of gets me. It kind of puts in me a different perspective about Christmas. It's more about loving what you have.
Yeah,
right. It's just appreciation.
Like, yeah, it's just like, so going to that Bible, it says, "You love God came and robed Himself in flesh."
Amen.
Why? Because He loved His people.
Yeah.
John 3:16. He would tell us the reason why He came to earth. For God so loved the world
that
He gave His only begotten Son. Mm-hmm. And so that was Christmas growing up for me.
Amen. When I grew up, Christmas, I remember thinking about, you know, I was really interested as a child, you know, you're interested in the presents under the tree. You know, all the things you get. And one particular story that came to mind was one Christmas, I really wanted a bicycle, and I knew I wanted this orange bicycle, and it had these bars that came out the side, and man, I needed that bicycle. And I got the bicycle, and I was so overjoyed that I got the bicycle. And then I come a few days later, ride the bike, and I go over to a friend's house, and I leave the bike in front of the friend's house, and then I come back out, and the bike's gone.
Oh.
And little did I know, you know, come fast forward, you know, to now and to this time in my life, and I think, you know, that was a lesson that God was playing. You know, I got my bike stolen, and I was so angry and frustrated at, you know, whoever stole my bike, and I think I know who stole my bike, and all of that. But it, you know, it's a lesson in forgiveness and showing that the material things, the present things that are under the tree, they're just material, and they can be replaced. I got another bike eventually.
Yeah.
But the real present of Christmas is Jesus.
Amen.
That's right.
He is the present, the gift to the whole world.
Yes.
Yeah. He's that light.
Amen.
He said that my burden is light.
Yes.
My yoke is easy. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that today, that he said, my burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, he knew that, you know, they weren't speaking in English.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we speak in English, that word light, you know, it means, you know, not heavy, but light. But it also has the connotation of of light. You know, my burden is light. We carry his light.
Yes.
Absolutely. And he is that light. Jesus is that light.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm thankful I've come to know the meaning of Christmas.
Amen.
And who he is.
Yeah.
Because he is my salvation.
Yes.
Amen.
Right. Praise God.
Yeah. I wanted a bike for Christmas one time. So my dad waited a couple days and found this orange bike that it was awesome.
Chapter 2.
actually funny, I thought about this question that it was not, you know, not we didn't celebrate Santa Claus as far as I can remember. I can't remember thinking he was real. Like, no one ever told me Santa Claus wasn't real. But growing up in church, it was you know, always about Jesus. And of course, our church made sure everybody knew leading up to Christmas Day that, you know, it was about Jesus.
Yeah.
But we, as kids growing up, we would stay up as late as we could, of course. And looking back, I feel bad for my dad. Because when we'd fall asleep, you know, we'd be waking up. As soon as we woke up, we're trying to get mom and dad awake.
You bet.
And we would open up presents as soon as they were finally awake, and then we would eat.
Mm.
And then the whole day and the whole season was just busy going to family's houses. And as an adult, I look back, it was actually not the presents, not getting anything that I cherish, but it was the hanging out with your cousins and hanging out with grandpa and grandma, and knowing later we're going to see him, you know, days later, because we were just a close family growing up. But there was one Christmas, like Dan, that I didn't want a bike. I wanted Batman or something. But one morning we woke up, and before we can go to wake mom and dad up, there was three bikes. As an adult now, I can see where my dad had to wait till his kids were asleep. and build those bikes so that they'd be there. And me and my wife, we got a tricycle for our son.
Yeah.
And she's like, we need to put together. I'm like, we're going to wait. I'm going to wait until, because I want to do that as a father.
Nice.
And but it's definitely, looking back, even having presents, which we were poor. And not really poor, we just weren't higher up. But looking back, the sacrifice they would do is what I think I enjoy the most. But there was a candlelight service a couple of years ago that I went to, and it had more spiritual meaning than I've ever recognized as a kid.
Mm.
You know, we'd go to candlelight services, and it was awesome because I get to hold a candle of fire, you know, and I'm pretty sure my parents were always watching over me. But as I think it was the first candlelight service with my son was born. Mm. He was just a couple months old. 2 months old, roughly, and there was I felt more a spiritual atmosphere in that in the season of Christmas than I've ever had.
Mm.
But as right now, my favorite enjoyment is people.
Mm.
From Thanksgiving to after New Year's, there is people, random people you meet are just more nicer. Just it's the best time to actually be around people, and then
That's true.
There was it, when we switched from Merry Christmas to, you know, I don't even know what we say because I never said it.
Happy but, New Year. What are you?
Happy holidays.
Yeah. Mm.
And then, of course, you know, a certain orange man became president, and I remember everybody started just saying Merry Christmas again. Mm-hmm. It was not political correct, you know, mm-hmm. but it was just Merry Christmas. And you could see it.
Yeah.
You can hear that. People were actually,
yeah.
and it wasn't because it was Merry Christmas because this is Santa Claus.
Yeah.
But it's Merry Christmas because this is the birth of our, you know, our Savior.
Yeah.
And I think that, for me, has just been recognizing that people still know the meaning of Christmas.
Yeah.
That it was, there was this pride and this, this, you know, and reverence of even telling each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Before you go, because I know growing up, we I mean, it's just now that this happy holidays is is blossoming.
Yeah.
I remember growing up, our elders or even the stores establishments would say Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe it's just a sign of the times. That
I think people are trying to change the meaning.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Right. So they're diverting it to, oh, it's just another holiday.
Yeah. I remember one article is saying they were putting Merry Xmas. And so why? They're changing, trying to take
the Christ
out of Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christmas. So.
Yeah.
Mm.
I've even learned, like, you know, people say Merry Christmas haphazardly, you know, just as you're passing. And I've gotten into a mode now where they say that to me and I say, well, God bless you. And one lady, I caught her the other day. She said, nobody says that anymore. Nobody says, God bless you. That's just great that you said that. And we ended up falling into a whole conversation about she was cooking pies for her husband who just got out of the hospital. And, you know, that, you know, God gives us different things in different ways to build our faith.
Right. Right. Or carpenter.
Well, I hadn't thought about a bike story, but due to the peer pressure from Brother Dan and Brother Mike, I can tell you that I did one Christmas get a yellow bike with a black and yellow banana seat with streamers on the handlebars, and I thought that was really cool.
Pre-Vietnam.
Yeah, probably pretty much, yeah. Probably rode around the same time your parents were riding a bike.
Yeah, a little bit.
No, but when you said growing up as a child, I just remember the anticipation of Christmas. It seemed like the days would just start to drag as we got into December.
Mm.
It seemed like it would never get there. And I remember my mom baking treats and the house smelling fantastic. But we would almost always travel to my grandmother's house for Christmas. And I was raised in Texas, and my grandmother was in Arkansas. So that meant that we had a kind of a long drive ahead of us. So I can remember being young and standing outside in the pre-dawn light in my onesie with my plastic feet, watching my father play master level Tetris, putting presents in the trunk of the car. I never could understand how he could stack all these things in there. But anyway, we'd get ready to go, and my dad, he didn't want to be on the road any more than he had to. So bathroom breaks were kind of a luxury. So, but it was worth the squirming once I got there, because there was always be a warm house with family that I hadn't seen in a long time. And the smells that would come out of my grandmother's kitchen were, I was always kind of sneaking in there, what's this or what's that, you know? So it was always worth the wait to get there. But even with all the presents and the treats, I was raised that, you know, there was one gift, one present that was Emmanuel, that God had come to be with us, and that was the central part of that. So that was the theme. We love and family were the sideboards, if you were, but the main meal was that this was a time that God came down to earth to be with us.
Right.
That was my memory of Christmas growing up.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's very good. I love Tetris.
You know, at the time, I was thinking when I wrote this, I thought, you know, Tetris hadn't even been invented at that time.
Yeah,
but it fit perfectly. Yeah. I can remember to this day, I still can't stack in the back of the car like my dad can.
Yeah, because, I mean, you talked about Emmanuel, because I don't know if you experienced, but over where we are, it's because it's mostly predominantly Catholic.
Yeah.
And they believe in Christ, but they lean more on Santa Claus. And so growing up, Christmas is more of a Santa Claus thing than Christ, until you grow up and you learn more. But yeah, that's good.
Wow. Thanks for letting me share.
Yes, sir. Oscar. Yes, sir. Thank you.
My birthday. Brother Nate. Well, Christmas for me, man, when I was a kid, it was about Santa Claus, man. For real. It was about St. Nick, man. And I remember some mornings, like everybody, mostly like I felt like every kid, like, man, like you never wake up early until that Christmas morning. Like you just, it'd be 3 o'clock knocking on, is it time now? It's like, get back to bed. I'm like, oh man, we went to bed early so we can get up early, you know? I just remember the anticipating of just waiting and just 5 o'clock, you know, finally mama said, man, let me just go ahead and get this done and get y'all to open up your presents. And, you know, it was just, then I remember that we would most likely most of our Christmas as a kid, we used to, you know, we used to do the family mom, my mom and dad, you know, my dad used to come over and we used to just do the family thing there, get breakfast, lay back down. And then when we was a kid, my grandmother used to, Big Mama, she used to be there, and we used to go to her house and go over there and eat some more. And then we used to go back, and then we'd throw on our Christmas fit. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you got that Christmas fit you got to wear because your mama said you had to. And then we used to go back over to Grandma's house. Yeah, go back to Grandma's house, man, and we used to eat good, you know. But I remember when I was about in middle school, a little bit of elementary school. I grew up in First Pentecostal Church, was a bus kid. But basically I was going for snacks. You know what I mean? They still was giving snacks. Yeah, they got great snacks. Even today.
You still eat them as an adult.
I do. Praise God. Yes. I got some in the car. But
old habits die hard.
I do. Love you, Brother Omar. But I remember during the Christmas season, they would play some kind of a video of Christ, and they would begin the birth of Christ in the video, and I remember learning a little bit more that it was and going to the church, and they would always make sure that you know, but you know, for that one moment that says Sunday, some Sundays was more important than other Sundays, let me tell you that, you know what I mean? Because some Sundays I was just so focused on just let me get my snacks and I'm crazy, you know what I'm saying, I'm just a little boy, you know what I mean? But then there were some Sundays when, you know, life wasn't just what I wanted, and sometimes they would just, sometimes the word at the church would be exactly what I wanted, and I listen. And going to church, Christ was just started to, that word, the name, you know what I mean? It started empowering me, and then I start seeing it on, I seen it, you know, on Christmas Eve, you know, the story of Christ and that, you know. So it kind of allowed me to realize that there was a bigger purpose and allowed me to learn that, you know what I'm saying? I knew it wasn't just about Santa Claus, but Santa Claus was a cool dude because he's going down the chimney dropping off these gifts. Right. This is a great thing, you know what I mean? But we wasn't never a family like that would leave like cookies because I'm like,
you would eat them before time. Yeah, like, that was coming.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? Free cookies? Santa was here. No, I seen him. You know, but yeah, so it was, and then once I start seeing the movies, seeing the movie about Christ and what all he did, and that kind of brought me to a little bit more of a passion, you know what I'm saying, to realize that it was something more about that day. Right. And now, you know, the birth of Jesus means overwhelmingly more than what it did as a child, you know what I'm saying? Because as a kid, I was just an immature, young knucklehead kid that would just, you know, try to get snacks and let's go after the gifts, wake everybody up, you know what I mean? But now, as a mature man, it's like, man, that birth is God's gift to the world, you know? And it's like nothing can take that, you know, and it's like if you grab the grips of that birth and that life that was given to us in that Savior, in that manger, that God was willing to humble himself so much, it allows me myself to where I'm not I'm not ashamed of no part of my life, mm-hmm. because Christ started at the lowest part, and he still reigned.
Right.
But the whole point was where he was going.
Right.
You know, so it's just knowing that Christ and what he's done, and in that birth of why we why the true reason why we celebrate Christmas, it's like my walk with God. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because so many people serve a God that when they died, that tomb is full. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. We serve a God whose tomb is empty. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's the glory that, you know what I'm saying, I feel have us all here today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Glorifying God.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Amen. Well, I feel like I kind of have a similar background with Brother Oscar. Grew up in Vietnam, and we grew up poor. No running water, electricity. We were Catholic, so I never really understood the meaning of Christmas growing up. And we were blessed to come to America when I was about 6 years old. And, you know, my uncle, who's been over here for a while now, he had a good job at Spirit. And I feel like his family kind of introduced us to, okay, over here in America, when, you know, you have a little bit to spend, you know, we eat and we'll exchange gifts. So that I kind of learned Christmas, so like just in my life, it didn't start off like as I was a little kid, I knew about Christmas. You know, it wasn't until like I came to America where it's like, okay, there's actually like stuff on the shelves in the store when you go in there, right? But, you know, I feel like growing up, I grew up Catholic, and it was just kind of an event, right? So it's like you get Christmas off, you get it off for school, we'll get together, we'll exchange gifts, we'll eat. And that was it. And you know, when I was during that holiday, you know, I would go hang out with my friends, everyone was off. But I feel like my Christmas has now changed a lot. Just kind of, I found Christ, was baptized, and living for God. And just the meaning of Christmas for me has changed over the years. You know, got married, and my wife's family, you know, a lot of them are ministers. And, you know, when we get together, it's just a time of fellowship. And for me right now, the meaning of Christmas for me is just being grateful for everything that God has done and everything that he's given. You know, he gave himself and he came into this world, and God gave us a son. And it's only because of him that I'm like here, really being able to just think about, you know, just the blessings of God upon my life and upon all you guys' life, you know, and just being grateful for what, you know, for what you got and the fellowship you're around. So.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, that's awesome. And I'm glad you guys shared how Christmas is. It's very different.
Right. Yeah.
And yet similar in ways.
Yeah.
Right. Like we all grew up and then we started to shift from the meaning of Christmas.
Yeah.
And us, now that we're grown up, now that we read our Bible, now that we have been church, we know what Christmas is, and we know that Santa Claus is not real.
News alert.
But as mature Christians, how should we celebrate Christmas?
I was at a Bagatelle today. You guys been there?
Yeah.
Not bakery? A long time.
Yeah, it's an awesome bakery. Obviously. They got, like, man, they got quiches, they got empanadas.
Where is this at?
It's on Woodlawn and... I think like Lincoln or Douglas.
You know they're not plugging us here on the podcast.
Right, yeah.
Sponsored by
Bagatelle. But they got awesome cakes. They have cakes there, but they have bread there, and they got all types of food. So I went there today, and you know, I was like, okay, you guys got any quiches? He's like, well, it's going to be like 30 minutes. And I was like, okay, I'll wait. So I got me an empanada, and I just sat down and ate, right? But during that time when I ran into a gentleman, I know there's a story to the
story. Yeah, there's a story to the story.
You're looking at me like, what are you talking about?
You took an abrupt left turn, and I'm just riding with you.
Well, hear me out. So I was talking to this guy, and he was like jittery, and I was like, I don't know what's going on with this guy. And then he started telling me, like, you know, he had Huntington disease. And I had no idea what it was, but he just talked to me for 30 minutes randomly at a restaurant.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect that. And he told me about his life. You know, he was in the army. he has kids. You know, he was a really successful businessman. He has his bachelor's degree. He has his master's degree. And he's had Huntington disease for 40 years. Wow. And I'm looking at this guy, and he is like the most happy guy, successful, and he didn't let a disease define him.
Yeah.
And for me, when I was looking at him, I'm like, man, I need to be a lot more grateful, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
Because right. this guy right. didn't let it, like, a disease, a hereditary disease, define his life, and he was able to push on. And I was talking to him, and I was like, man, if I could just kind of be like him mm-hmm. and just have a really good outlook of life and just be really grateful.
Right.
So for me, back to your question, I feel like just being grateful, you know, for the things that we got. You know, we might not be the most blessed or the most healthy, or we might not have this, we might not have that, but be grateful for what you got.
Right? Yeah.
And that Ned today was like, man, this guy's blowing my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For 40 years, he's mm-hmm. doing this, and he ran a successful business, and he took care of all the Quick Trips and the refrigerators. He said he took care of a third of all Quick Trips refrigerators. Mm. So while he was working, he was... Mm. Wow. And he had his master's degree.
Yeah.
Wow.
And his bachelor's. And then he was able to give that off to his kids and his family. I'm like, awesome. Man, Ned, you inspire me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just so being grateful.
Yeah. That's yeah. beautiful, too, that, you know, you said just talking to a complete stranger, just fellowship in this time of year, you know, because Christmas yeah. has that effect. There's yeah. there's actually a condition people have called SAD because mm. of, you know, the time. You can get so emotionally depressed about your situation. But mm-hmm. then right. there's that area of joy that it brings too. So if you go and you fellowship with a complete stranger and just, you know, give the love that you have inside to somebody oh, else,
right.
yeah. you know, that is the meaning. Like Christ gave us his light and right. who he is, and yeah. just, you know,
yeah.
giving of yourself to, you know, having compassion. And
oh, yes.
After that conversation, I was like, Ned, I really got to thank you. Like, yeah. I know you just sat here and talked to me, and I just thanked him for sharing his story. I had a little opportunity to pray for him, but such an inspiration just talking to just a random person.
Yeah. yeah.
And I know this time of year, a lot of people struggle. Yeah. Like, I talk to people, and they're like, I just want to have a good Christmas for my family.
Yeah.
And, like, you would never know. Like, I volunteer a little bit at the Union Rescue, and I actually ran to a gentleman from our church. His name's Don. Mm-hmm. So I hope to take him to church tomorrow. But
awesome.
He's in the Union Rescue right yeah. now because he wow. lost his job.
Yeah.
yeah. And it could take really one thing, you know, your health,
yeah.
your job, or someone dying,
yeah.
and your life changes. So yeah. just being grateful from the now.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
yeah. Amen.
I would say that we mentioned it before. We had the Xmas, right? Not to take yeah. the Christ out of Christmas. I think the story in Luke 2 should be just as important as decorations or presents, right?
Yes.
That should be like on the mantle or the centerpiece. That story should just reverberate in all of our family, right? That you know, Christmas means he came. He came to, yeah. to this earth. And I think the spirit of giving, which is interesting that you said that, Brother Long, mm-hmm. right? It should be taught by demonstration to our kids, right? Right. Giving of our time to the Lord, to others, right, that are less fortunate than us yeah. is exactly what you were talking about as well, right? And to our friends and family.
Yeah.
And the sacrifice of giving can be tied back to the King of Kings stepping out of his splendor, right?
Yes.
To be born in a food trough for animals, right? Yeah. With no deference, no preeminence, no real heritage, except maybe if someone knew was able to look for the signs in the sky or those things. He came, you know, without any type of physical fanfare, but you know, he humbled himself.
Absolutely.
And we could take from that example and humble ourselves and try to give to others.
Yeah, and that is awesome.
Mm. You know, through this past couple weeks, you know, Miss Sue passed away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of the things that's been on my mind is, man, could you spend more time with somebody, right? With your family,
yeah.
With your brother, with your sister, with your mom, with your dad.
Yeah.
You know, if you could go back and just do something and not been bitter about something or whatever, right? Something so small, you know, sometimes I feel like in life we could blow things up.
Yeah.
And then it's like, man, I really wish I could have done something different.
Yeah.
But I think just through the whole experience, it's just like, man, if I could have just spent more time or, you know, just not thinking about myself, but, you know, being selfless.
But along being selfless. It's usually not too late, right? Usually we think, oh, well, because we've already done this, it can't go back. But you can. What you have to do is humble yourself, right? You have to say, you know what? It may make me look a little bit smaller, but that's probably the right thing to do. You know? Right. It takes making ourselves small and his spirit bigger.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because I remember we were shooting the Christmas commercial, and Sister Sue was there,
right.
And Bert Jesse was there. Miss is gonna be there on the program, right. And I was editing that, and it hurts because you see that, and it was recorded, and it was and Bert Jesse said they will be there, and then this thing happened, and then it's just what you said. It's like what is the greatest gift?
Right.
That came for Christmas.
Right.
And that is life.
Yes. Praise
life God. Came to earth for us.
Right.
And we take things for granted because, well, sometimes because you see them every day, you basically, this is what I learned. Because back in the country where I grew up in, we're not a hugging people. We're not like
affectionate.
Affectionate people. Right. We say when you meet your friend over there, you just say, you not your hand. And like, and then I had to unlearn that one, and it's in here where I really like. I enjoy it because you can feel my brother. You can feel the hugs. You can feel like the connection.
There's connection. I better get a hug.
Yeah, and so. It makes you realize that you need somebody.
Right. Absolutely.
And so going back to how should I celebrate my Christmas as a Christian is more on, you said it, it's more on be caring for others. Because sometimes Christmas is, you said it, the hardest thing. Because not everybody has the resources, not everybody has the finances to be able to buy gifts for their children.
Right.
I remember first when we first came here, it was my wife having her job for now, and I was just here. It's like, man, why did I leave my job over there? I was making a good money, and I come here. It's like I feel like I'm nothing. I'm nobody. And so for quite some time, we were like, how we would celebrate Christmas. And not everybody is blessed like we are. Yeah. Not everybody can say there's an abundance of meals, abundance of gifts in the house. And so, as Christians, right now, what I feel is we should care, just like what you said. We should care for those people. Because you said Christmas time is the time when everybody is open. Right. It's like, I don't know what's... But it's Christ. I know it's Christ. But this is the season when everybody is... instead of being angry all the time, everybody's smiling, everybody has an open spirit, and this is the time when we should shine Christ more in their lives, just like what you said.
Amen.
Add the God bless you over there, like I pray the blessings of God over your family, because you don't know that they might be struggling right now for their Christmas. Yeah.
I would have never fell into that conversation with that lady had I not said that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it just mentioning, you know, God and his existence, you know, can take somebody by surprise it can lead into, you know, being able to minister to them in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Let them know that Christmas is for Christ. It's not for Santa Claus anymore. Right. Yeah. There's still a God, and so it's just being a caring as a Christian.
Yeah.
So. I think my thing, you know, generally when you see somebody with like, who's moving around, like I get kind of weirded out. Like, you know what I mean?
They're on drugs.
Right. You know, like, and if you said, Dan, if it wasn't just like one kind thing, you know, that starts it off, right?
Someone
like,
hey, how are you doing? Something for 30 minutes.
I'll wait. Right. but it can be scary, you know, like starting a conversation to someone you don't know. And especially when, you know, they're moving around. I'm like, and I've never heard of Huntington's disease.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking maybe the guy had something else going on, but.
You Googled it and it's real.
No. Yeah, I did Google it after the conversation. I was like, okay.
Hmm.
But yeah, Huntington disease, no one knows, it's a hereditary disease. It happens in your brain. And there's something that happens with your nerves where you're unable to control your nerves. So you're constantly moving around. And I think it gets worse over time.
Yeah. I don't know when I recognized that Christmas is my favorite season. And it's not the presents, even though I enjoy that as a kid. Old man now, I hate presents. Don't give me nothing. It's hard for me to receive anything. But give, man, I do. Me and my wife have this thing where I always tell her, don't. And then she's like, okay, don't buy me nothing. I'm like, all right. And then I shower her because I enjoy that. But I several years ago realized that for 2 years, these wise men carried gifts. Mm. And they wanted to give these gifts to the king of Israel, Judea. And I don't really know if they knew that he was the Savior on their journey until they finally got there. But they, there's theories that the star they saw was actually a certain way the planets align. Mm-hmm. And Jupiter, and they knew it was a planet and not a star, that Jupiter was the sign of the king. Mm-hmm. But then these certain stars and constellations aligned would allow to know of the king of Assyria, king of Persia, or the king of Israel. And so they knew that this king was born. But what point of that is that for 2 years they were traveling, they had a destination to give something. That was in their heart to give. And I think the reason why people are happier, and there's some depressing times and loneliness, but majority of people is that they don't realize it, that they're being Christ, that they're giving themselves. Mm-hmm. There's more money donated during the time of the season than the rest of the whole year. I think sometimes even combined. And even though there's more money spent to buy things, but if you look at it, yes, more companies gain more money.
Right.
But why? Because people want to give. They're buying gifts to give to loved ones, to give to, you know.
Right.
And I think the spirit of giving, it with that, people release anger. Right. You start releasing this stuff that's just piled inside of you. And it's only because you give. And I believe the reason why America does have the abundance. And because I do. I think about what you guys grew up with, man. I just, but you guys grew up there, but there's still people in America growing up in that same kind of atmosphere. But I think the reason why America is so abundantly blessed is because we give more than any nation. And this just the principle of God.
Yeah.
You give, I'm going to give you more, you know? I've just had more people smile in the store, you know, than not. And I've seen them with faces, they're mad because, you know, this person's they're in a hurry and the person in front of them is slow, and then you can just see it. But when they see you looking at them, they just smile.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they realize, you know, this. But I believe that it's, we've said, I mean, this must be unity here, is that that it's the giving.
Yeah.
Is there something about, but that's Christ-like. That's not me. That's not natural for me. It's me is, you know, I'm going to keep mine and don't mess. But when you follow Christ, you realize that giving gives so much more pleasure than receiving.
Oh, yes. Right.
There's a scripture that says that, right? It's better to give than receive.
But I think in giving, the release. You're releasing baggage. You're releasing anger and hatred. And that this is a byproduct that, you know, we're not just, you know.
There is a thing that happens inside you when you give too. Yeah. It gives you a lot of pleasure to give.
Yeah.
And it's very addicting to give. Once you start doing it, you don't want to stop. You just want to keep it going.
But I think about forgiveness sometimes. You know, when I think about sacrifice, you know, you can be so angry at somebody and it just be on your mind, right? Man, why did they do that to me?
Uh-huh.
And then you get to a point where God reminds me, hey, you need to forgive this person.
Yeah.
And once you do that, there's a release in your mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, okay, I'm no longer thinking about that person and hurting them.
Yeah.
But there's a release with forgiving and sacrificing and giving to others.
Yeah. There's actually doctors who will just prescribe their patients to go that can't heal properly and actually have them go through clinics where they actually learn how to let go and forgive. And when they actually start forgiving people, their body starts to heal.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And maybe the wording's not right, but it's still, I think, the most important part is that there's the tragedy of Christmas, which is it's once a year.
Right.
Yeah, we don't realize that
every day
we can be this way.
Every day.
Like we just, I mean, and that's what Christ says, you know, I am the Sabbath.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's every day.
Yep.
You know, he's the rest.
That's right.
And when we treat him just as the baby and just one day a year, and even that little bit of build up.
Yeah.
But then what happens after the new year? Then it's back to the grind, back to New Year's resolutions, but none of them is ever to treat every day like Christmas. That's you know,
it's good.
You know, what else can I say? Everybody else said it. I should have kicked in.
Don't go last.
Yeah, you know, thing, you know, but
tie it in. Tie it all together. Wrap it in a present.
But if I was to say, I mean, first of all, yeah, you can't, especially for Christians, you know, I feel like we shouldn't make it a one year thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like this season is the best time for Christians to win souls.
Oh, yeah.
Because I believe right now there's people that's being attacked by the enemy.
Yeah.
And those who is being attacked is the ones that's going around with a frown and hurt and bitter and carrying these wounds that is the enemy is just slaughtering them right now.
Yeah.
And the only thing they need is that little bit of light to be brought into their lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I believe that, you know, as Christians, like, we should celebrate Christmas as Christians, as followers of Christ every day. We should be a stronger light right now because we know the reason for
That's
the season.
Right. Amen.
You know, and we should let our light shine brighter now than, I mean, we should let it shine every other week, but we know the reason.
Yeah.
You know, it is no reason why, like, you know, we should wait a year, but if hearts and souls are open now, because they're waiting to give, they're waiting to receive.
Right.
So right now is our season to give.
It is.
And we know the true meaning of this the season. We know the true gift.
That's right.
And that's what we should be trying to give because that is the reason for the season. And we should be pressuring. We should be overwhelming them. Like you guys said, like just a simple one word automatically bring a conversation. Just a little bit of caring. Right. Just a little bit of passion of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and that's because the edification of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you didn't have the Holy Ghost, that dude sitting there jiggling, you've been like, I'm sorry about it. Yeah, I know. I'm going to
eat my empanada out in the car.
You might have COVID. You might have a new strain of it. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and if you wasn't in church, you would have been like, they would have been like, Merry Christmas. You'd been like, hey, happy holiday. Yeah. I'm about to go. This is day trip. You know what I mean? But because of the Holy Spirit, something like, man, you know, you can't help but think about God.
That's right.
Especially if you stay in tune and you're tuned in to God. So I feel like it's right now as mature, you know, don't attack.
Yeah.
Pour it on. Yes. Pour it out right now.
Yeah.
Because there's hearts and souls that's waiting to receive it.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of them is right now because, like you said, this is the most time that people be happy, but at the same time, suicide rates is high.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
People are killing themselves because there's loneliness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's depression. The enemy is slaughtering us by the minutes.
Yeah.
And the only thing that we need is to allow that light of shine, that light of Christ to shine through us in this moment.
Yes.
I mean, right now, I'm telling you, it's just so much about, because, like, you know, we've been having the stand rallies and we've been having these, you know, all these connections of going out and outreach and all this stuff. And it's the holiday season. And it's kind of like, you know, I don't want, the church should not see this as a time, okay, it's time to, got the holidays, we need to slow it down.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, man, right now, it's time for us to, in order to get a breakthrough, you got to break out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we got to break out right now. It's Christmas time. I'm going to be a powerhouse for Christ now.
Yeah,
and I'm going to say just a word because words mean everything.
Amen. They can make it. The world of difference
for
somebody.
You know, because you can be facing somebody that's just don't have money for their kids. Yeah. They want to give their kids gifts. They, you know, and you just a simple word, kind gesture, means everything. For this season, I say the whole point is let your light shine and be that Christ for whoever that Christ put on your heart.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
Because that's the most important thing is just attacking right now.
Yeah.
Attacking with vengeance. Yeah. Attacking with the glory of God in our hearts and souls and not allowing ourselves to get caught up in humbling ourselves and know that we can make a difference.
Yeah. Yes,
we can. Not to get caught up in ourselves. Not to get caught up, man, what is it going to do?
Yeah.
If I give you $20, what is it going to do? It can mean a lot to this person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? $20 would mean the world to this person because now they can go and do something what they couldn't have done.
Yeah.
Yeah. A kind gesture could have meant a lot on their hearts. Yeah. Only thing they've been hearing was cussing and drinking and smoking. Right. But now they got that kind word that they can take back into that negative situation. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Man, somebody said, God loves me today.
Yeah. And it's especially hard for those who lost loved ones in that year.
Mm-hmm. Man.
When you spend your time for your loved ones and then Christmas is here and it's supposed to be a time of joy. It's like, why will I celebrate Christmas?
Right.
And so they have that instead of joy, they're down. They're down and out. And so it's great for us to, if we have something, we give it. Let just what you said, let your light shine. Let there be Christ in it.
Right.
And if there is a message that you would want to share for our listeners and to others, what would that message be?
I was driving home and today, and I was thinking about this what we were going to talk about, and I talked to God like an idiot, I guess. So I talked to him like I'm talking now. When I'm at church praying, it's like, Thou art holy, O Lord, the Most High. But when I'm in my truck, I just randomly, like I'm talking to myself. But I started thinking about the host of heaven was there on the night, you know, he was born. The shepherds were out in the field, and it says the angel appeared unto them, and it said, and then they saw the angel, and they saw the host of heaven.
Yeah,
and the word host there is like the whole Bible. It's a military word, and it means army. It doesn't mean a bunch of people. It actually means
organizations.
It means soldiers.
Yeah, right.
These are the army of heaven, and there's so many different thoughts that there's one third of angels of the army. I don't believe that, but I believe all the angels are the army. And but that the shepherds saw them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why did it use that word host?
Hmm.
And just the way God reveals himself, I realized that why were the army? What was the army there for? They were there for their general.
Right.
But in my head, I'm like, God, that general, I mean, you're already there. You're up there on your throne. You tell them what to do. But what were they waiting for? And so it was a simple, this baby was the one that was promised to crush the head of the serpent.
Right.
It wasn't God on his throne at the beginning. God said, I'm going to come, and I'm going to crush.
Yeah.
And so these angels for thousands of years were waiting for that one.
For the command.
That knew that was going to come to crush the head of the serpent.
Yeah.
And I'll just tell you this. I was taking a shower, wanted to smell good, and I was thinking about that.
Thank you for taking
a shower. Yeah, thank you.
I just have to let you know this is how God works. Like this is and this is how I work, right? Is that I was just like, man, that's why was we know that God didn't tell Mary, thousands of years ago, you're gonna have the seed.
Right.
Right. But he told Eve. But why would you tell Eve, and then it not happen for thousands of years, and then it was just like it just dawned on me, her name wasn't Eve yet.
Mm-hmm.
When Adam was created, and out of his side, God took the rib, and made a woman. Yeah. Her name was woman,
right?
Yeah.
Until Adam named her,
right?
But Adam did not name her until after God said that out of woman, the seed's gonna come. You're gonna bear the seed. And so it wasn't personal name, Eve. And the only reason Adam wouldn't even name her was because out of you, Eve, you're the mother of the living. But God was telling before that from you, the woman, the sex of a woman is going to come this child, which I'm going to come through you.
Right.
And it just all started connecting because I always wondered why wasn't Eve the one? Because Eve thought her first baby, this is him. And then when her son Abel was killed, it was him, but maybe not. And then so this whole time, and women throughout the years, they couldn't bear children, or if they couldn't bear a male child, they can only bear female. Like, and so the way God revealed it was that. But the fact that at Christmas we celebrate with presents and all this and food and all kinds of great things, but it still points to that child that's going to bruise the head. Of the serpent, and the host of heaven was like, it's hot time.
That's awesome.
It's time. Like there he is. Yeah. He's gonna start bruising. But they didn't even know the way he would go to the cross.
That's right.
And then die for our sins.
Yeah.
They know.
They know now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. One resounding thing for me about, you know, the nativity scene and that Jesus and the angels bearing witness is like the Ark of the Covenant, and that the angels over the Ark, and that, you know, he's the king that sits on the mercy seat.
Right.
Yeah. And
I just, you know, when you make that connection, I feel the Holy Ghost too, that, you know, that that scene is, you know, he's the God of Israel. He is that king in that human form.
Right.
You know, he was a baby, you know, in Mary's arms, the woman's arms, looking up at her.
Yeah.
You know, the God of the world humbled himself so much that he couldn't help himself.
Yeah.
He had to be taken care of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Christmas message for me is just knowing that a God is willing to come and sacrifice for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could be doing anything, right?
Right.
He could be creating galaxies. He could be doing anything that he wants. But he cared for a little planet out there, a little blue planet with a bunch of humans. And he said that I'm going to come. And, you know, when Mike was talking about how he spoke to Eve, but thousands of years later, you know, he came. I think the thing that that I thought about is like his word is true.
Always.
You know, when he speaks his word.
Yeah.
He's going to fulfill it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, he made a promise to mankind that, hey, I'm going to redeem you from your mistake.
Right.
And a God humbling himself in a little manger as a baby.
Yeah.
And fulfilling his word. I think that, for me, that I feel like that's the Christmas message I'm thinking about right now.
Yeah.
My Christmas message is hope.
Oh, right. Praise God.
Hope for salvation that would have never been available until his arrival.
Amen.
I think the whole earth was filled with hope at his coming. Not the people per se, but the earth, right?
Yeah.
Hope not to be under the dominion of the prince of the power of the air, right? Like we talked about when we fell, right? I think creation recognized its creator. Right?
Yeah.
Romans 8 speaks of the creation eagerly awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. And Jesus says in Luke 19 that if we didn't praise him right there, our people didn't praise him, the very rocks would cry out.
Right.
Right? And so without his coming and his intentional and painful sacrifice, we would be of all men most miserable. Yeah. We'd be hopeless.
Yes.
That's 1 Corinthians 15.
Amen. Right?
And if the earth recognizes his hope, when it arrives, we must also recognize that we are his creation.
Amen.
And that we share the gift of hope in our hearts.
Amen.
Right? And then we must share that to everyone. And you guys have already said it. That's open to hear it.
That's right.
My favorite Christmas song has a lyric that speaks to this hope. It's "O Holy Night." It's my favorite song. And I'm just going to say a few of the words because it speaks exactly to what I'm talking about. It says, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared. And the soul felt his worth. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn."
Oh, yes.
"Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices, Brother Ricker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born."
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
And many forget about that, the message of that. It's just, they sing it, but they just, it was... It doesn't affect.
It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't penetrate their heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that one.
Yeah.
Just add on, Brother Dodd, when he was talking about hope, you know, and I think it's in Colossians, you know, "Christ in you, the hope of glory."
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he came as a gift to the world, Amen. And then he poured back his Holy Spirit, and he's now living inside of us.
Amen.
So we have a gift every day that we get to enjoy.
Yes.
That's right.
And that's Christ in us.
That's right.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost.
I do.
if I was to give a little story, I would most likely talking about Isaiah 53, and "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him.
Amen.
He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquaintance. acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, as was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him. Stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
To me, there was a innocent baby boy who we celebrate, who was Jesus Christ. Innocent baby who, from the moment he was born, he was almost on the run, because they heard that there was a savior that could be born. And there was a man that did not want to give up his kingdom. A man that wanted to be the king, wanted to be, had dominion. But the savior made it through his life to the place where he was meant to be.
Right.
He made it to that place, to that cross.
Yeah.
But because of Jesus Christ, because of the sacrifices that he made, because of the life that he lived, a flawless life, we are able to celebrate like we do. But all of our celebration and all of our Christmas times and giving and all the hope that we have, it came at a price.
Amen.
Absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We cannot look at the price of the joy.
Amen.
That it took.
Yeah.
The peace that we have, it was a price for it. For you keep going, they said he's the Prince of Peace.
Yes. Absolutely.
Why some seem to be feeling uplifted up in themselves to forget about the sacrifice that was truly made for our peace, for that hope that we have.
Yeah.
It was all because of Jesus Christ. Yeah. There was no other name that we should be celebrating. There's no other name that should go higher than Jesus Christ, because that is the name above all names. I could not live the life that Christ lived, because even as a kid, I was a thief. I mean, truth, I was a thief as a kid. I stole. But you know, so basically, all of our joy comes at a price.
Yes.
And Christ paid the price in full. Yeah.
Amen.
And I believe that's what the message should be, you know, that should be brought out. And and for us, us being true Christians,
amen,
we should know that Christ, the reason why we have this life that we live is because Christ died on the cross. Christ came.
Yeah.
Wrapped in flesh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he died so that we can have this peace, can have this joy.
That's right.
Because the only thing that we got is in watering and pouring in us is the fruit of the Spirit of God.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And that is what given us. So why would we tamper with that? Why would we want to intoxicate what Christ has given us?
That's right.
We should want to flourish, and we should want to press it out.
Yeah.
We should want the roots to go down and get you and get him and get her.
Yeah.
We should not limit it. We should not counsel ourselves. We need to counsel with Christ.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
He is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. And
Amen.
If we want to seek out anything, we got to make sure, we got to realize that every righteous and good gift comes as a sacrifice.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
That's awesome, my brother. And if I have a message for Christmas, I would point back to the Bible. And that is, harden not your hearts. For me, Christmas is, let's go back to the Bible, when Mary and Joseph was going to Bethlehem. She was about to deliver, and they were knocking at the inns, and they would say, it's full, I don't have any room for you. But then we have this manger, and sometimes we are those inns. Sometimes we get so busy with, I need to wrap presents, I need to attend this Christmas program, I need to take care of my family. And sometimes Jesus gets on the side.
Yeah.
We say, I have no room for you, I'm too busy. And what I want to say is, we got to make room for Jesus.
Amen.
If there is a message for us right now in this time, is
make room for Jesus. You might be busy in your work. You might be busy with family, but open up your hearts.
Yes.
Make room for God in your lives. Because the Bible says, if you deny me, that is Jesus speaking. If you deny me here on earth, and I will deny you when you come to me in my Father in heaven. And so, just as Mary and Joseph were knocking at those in, be that innkeeper who says, I might not have enough room, but I'm gonna
make
a room. Yes,
right.
Make a room, make a place for Christ in our family.
Yes.
And so we hope that our short discussion and conversation and our sharing lift up your spirits. And we pray that God is going to open up doors of opportunities for you and your loved ones. We pray that as this season comes, you might have lost a loved one. And we pray that the God, our comforter, our peace is going to visit you in this time. Let him feel that emptiness that you've been that you have lost. Let him be that greatest gift, for he is the greatest gift.
Amen.
You might not have the greatest presents on your Christmas tree or on your table, but if you seek God, I mean, there is no greater gift than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
And
Amen.
If there is the one gift that I would love is for Christ to be able to come in my life. Because once God is in your life, all the worries, all the pain, all the sorrow, all the troubles that you're in, he's going to take care of it.
Amen.
Why? Because you have made yourself the room. You have made yourself a tabernacle for God.
Amen.
And so, from my brothers and I, we just want to greet you a
Merry Christmas.
And so, before we close, let me ask Brother Long to pray over us and pray over you too.
Lord God, I just thank you for everything that you have done, your sacrifice. You came as a boy, a child into this earth, and you came up and you kept your word, Lord. You kept your word and you redeemed man, and you provided everything that we need, our healing. You carried our sorrows, our transgressions, our iniquities. Lord God, you fulfilled your word when it was hard. You were in that garden bleeding. And you still decided, I'm going to the cross so that they can have life and life more abundantly. Lord God, I just bless every hearer, and I command the blessings of God and the peace of God be upon their household, and that they be healed right now in the name of Jesus, and that Christ be lifted up in their household, that he be praised and magnified and worshiped. And Lord God, may Christmas not be just a 1 month out of the year, but may it be all season, Lord God. May we recognize you in everything that we do. May we take time to spend time with our families, to talk to strangers, to witness, Lord God, because time is short, and you are coming back. And Lord God, I thank you. I pray in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And so we thank you for your time. We thank you for your sacrifice. And from my brothers and I, we speak the blessings of God in your home, in your family. And always remember that this is that. God bless you all and have a Merry Christmas.